AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European football in Scotland. Celtic find out their Champions League opponents as they prepare a club record transfer for Arne Engels. Rangers wait to see what players they can move out, to see what business they can do ahead of transfer deadline day, and a huge night of qualification action for Killy and Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
What a night we've got, a busy night. And anyone watching the stream can see Daz and I frantically scribbling down.
It's like the first because time ever you two have written anything down.
We're just drawing pictures actually. Yeah. There, we're playing the hangman. But I mean, the draw is happening, it's live just now, so exciting times for Celtic fans. And it's a real mix in there of winnable ties, a bit of glamour and good away days. But for Killy and Hearts, big evenings ahead for those.
Let's just go sort of breaking news. I like to try and obviously set the scene, as you well know, and give you the number and all that, and I will, but the Champions League draw, I mean, it took a while. I thought Oasis were going to split up again by the time we got it over and done with, but we just about got there before 6 o'clock. Celtic fans and anyone else is interested, here is the way it looks. Remember, it's a different format now. So Celtic will host RB Leipzig, Club Brugge, Young Boys and Slovan Bratislava, and away Borussia Dortmund, Atalanta, Dinamo Zagreb and Aston Villa. What's your initial reaction to that, Mark?
You're happy with that, yeah?
I think so. Just like I said, I think there's winnable ties in there. I know people get optimistic every year and think, oh, Celtic are right in the mix and they should beat this one and that one, but I really do think there are winnable ties in it. I mean, you're automatically drawn, I think, to the Aston Villa one. Just because
we said it last night, that's the one we were kind of wanting, just from a purely like neutral perspective. Yeah. Everything, the old Battle of Britain cliche, John McGinn, two clubs.
So much interest in that.
You know, Celtic haven't met. You kind of done the whole Man United and Liverpool, Man City thing. Wow, just a lot going on there, Gordon. So many, because there is more teams as well. What's your take on it?
I think it could have been a lot worse. If you're a Celtic fan and you're looking at the other side and thinking a lot more glamour, I think there could have been a lot more glamour there. But Mark's right, if you're anything to do with Celtic, a Celtic player, Brendan Rodgers, you'd be looking and thinking, hopefully there's a few winnable ties in there, and certainly are, and there's obviously the glamour one at Aston Villa as well. Yeah, so it's not a bad draw.
Because certainly, Mark, and you've so I'm going to call it so-called winnable, right? Because they're obviously all difficult. It's the Champions League, particularly those home ties. Well, let's be frank about it. There's not actually glamour there, really. You know, usually you look at, you're going to get one big boy. Celtic have had Real Madrid, they've had PSG, Barca, Bayern Munich, Man City in recent seasons. At Celtic Park, the biggest club that's coming to Celtic Park in this entire draw is RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
Club Brugge, Young Boys, Slovan Bratislava. Usual caveat, of course it's tough, of course it's the Champions League, but those home ties are very much, if you have to pick between glamour and winnable, they must be more towards winnable. I know it's hard, I know it's the Champions League, I'll repeat that 20 times before the end of the show.
Yeah, without doubt, I think three of those, I think when you look at Slovan Bratislava and you look at Young Boys and Bruges, you'd certainly say they're up there in the bracket, the most winnable that Celtic's had in many a year. And I know there's been some minnows in there, but, you know, they've proved to be anything but. But I think if you're going to get, you know, if you're going to take a step forward, you have to be beating those teams. The Aston Villa game, who knows what you get tonight, pitched into that sort of environment. You might get a performance that resembles something from the past, like when, you know, the UEFA Cup run, Celtic going to Anfield or going to Ewood Park and pulling something special out of the hat. You might just get that and win one of those, but you've got to concentrate on your home ones first and foremost when you get a draw like that.
01419511025. Give us a call right now. It was a bit of a different start to the show. I apologise. Blame UEFA. Don't blame us. It took a while to get there. So we're just digesting that news. But more importantly, we want to know what you make of it. Celtic fans, come on here right now and sum up that draw. Is it winnable? The home ties, you look at that new format, maybe 9 points gets you through. You look at those home ties, are you looking at that already? Or are you intrigued by some of those away days? Borussia Dortmund, Aston Villa, Atalanta, some of those away days look brilliant for you as well. So don't let us tell you. What do you think? Give us a shout and let us know what you make of that Champions League draw. We'll do the lot. We'll go through the clubs, we'll look at the home fixtures, the away fixtures. Again, as we've said, assess what falls into the glamorous category, what falls into the more winnable category. Let's do the lot. 01419511025 right now if you can. When those games comes around, will Arnie Engels be involved? It looks like an £11 million club record transfer fee for the player that I guess you would say is Matt O'Reilly's replacement. What do you make of that, Celtic fans? Are you pleased with that sign of intent? Does that show the board mean business? Or are you still in the process of being a bit nervous when the fees are that high? Let us know again on the same number. Rangers fans, it's just that waiting game again. There are links, there are rumours. Scott Wright closing in on the move to Birmingham, not confirmed yet. Todd Cantwell, not confirmed yet. Then what will come in the way? How are you feeling about everything tonight? There is the small matter of a game between the sides on Sunday, which we've not got round to yet. So if you want your early thoughts or predictions there, please do. And if that's not enough, two huge qualifiers for Kelly and Hearts, Mark Wilson. Can they do it? Because they're behind both of them.
Well, it's going to be extremely difficult. Did you hear Kelly getting a message from Brett the Hitman Hart? They're going to need,
as you do,
they're going to need more than that tonight. They're coming up against a very good side that's experienced at this level, so they need everything.
Just the confused look in his face. He's got no
idea. Do you
not
know
who
Brett the Hitman Hart is?
Of course he doesn't.
I'm going to guess he's
not an assassin.
I'm going to guess he's an American wrestler.
He is. How did you guess that?
I just the name.
Well, what, early 90s. That's right up your street. That's your, you're a rock kind of guy.
The Rock.
You?
Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah.
I know.
Mick McManus. For I probably know Gradle better than that boy.
Brett the Hitman Hart. He was a hero back in the 90s. He wore the purple pink glasses. Anyway, lost him.
Lost him.
How did we get from the Champions League draw to Brett the Hitman Hart so quickly?
I know. And what was his sharpshooter?
No, don't want that.
The sharpshooter was his special move.
That was my subtle hint.
Well, let's bring it back. Kelly are going to need a sharpshooter tonight.
What do you think of that? To shoot down Copenhagen.
Yeah.
But they won't get it. Is that what you're saying?
They won't get it. They'll be tapping out of the competition.
Oh, up against the ropes. There we go. What else?
Somersault out.
I'll follow up on what Mark says and we'll get back to the sensible stuff because I can't be bothered with him tonight. I think that Kelly will have a very difficult night. For me, they have to get, look, they're not out of the tie, of course they're not, but they're up against not a bad side. If you're looking over at Tynecastle, Hearts, they'd be disappointed losing that goal as well, but they've certainly still got the firepower. Shankland, there's doubts about Shankland playing tonight. That would be a massive, massive blow for them. But packed Tynecastle, great atmosphere there tonight. Hearts could probably do something. I think the harder tie is obviously Rugby Park, but Derek McInnes is a very experienced manager. He's got a good squad down there, and if they could just catch Copenhagen in a bad night, you never know, and I wish them all the best.
It's one of those nights, Mark, because the Champions League draw and those two ties are like happening right now and massive, and on another night, that's our 2 hours. We deal with those. Add to that the transfer window. We're talking £11 million, Arnie Engels. Who else? What's happening at Rangers? What's happening elsewhere? And then the big game on Sunday as well.
Yeah, and who's going to still be at the clubs come then? Because we're hearing, you know, it's not only who's coming in, it's who's leaving and the holes that that leave within a squad, and particularly Rangers, because they're probably thinning the ground as it is. But Philippe Clement stressed that he needs players out, the big earners out, and it looks like a couple of them are heading for the exit door. But does that free up any money for Philippe Clement to get anyone in, you know, tomorrow to go into the squad? who knows? So team selection is always interesting when it comes to these games, but when there's a transfer window closing, you know, a day or so before, it makes it extra interesting.
Come on then, you are spoiled for choice. The Champions League draw, Kilmarnock tonight, Hearts tonight, the transfer window, the game on Sunday, other games this weekend. So much to get through. Douglas is the first through on the phones tonight. How's it going, Douglas?
All right, you all right, guys?
All good, Douglas. It's always a kind of exciting night when we get the Champions League draw, and it's a different type of draw this season, so lots of teams to get through. How do you feel from a Celtic perspective?
100%, first time caller as well, guys. But good to have you. I think it's on paper that is, I'm not going to say a dream draw, right? But surely you look at that and you go, that's very, very doable. Like, and I actually think, in a way, that some Celtic fans, I don't want to speak for all of them, but I know myself, my reaction to that was, I'm actually a little bit frustrated now that the board haven't maybe done more in the transfer market, because if we had, surely against those teams, probably, Atalanta and Villa are probably the two best in there, that you certainly fancy that if we'd done a bit more and been a bit more ambitious, then you would think that we would get through that group fairly easily if we'd done a bit more, in my opinion. Yeah. Not easily, but do you know what I mean? I certainly think that we would.
I knew you were going to take that word back, Douglas. I knew it. I could sense it.
Definitely not easily, but I certainly think it would be a lot more realistic, shall we say, to progress. But I still think it's doable.
Like we said, we're going to get all hung up on the words that are used tonight, Mark. Easily, Douglas knows it's not. It's the Champions League, so on. But I think what you have to do, your starting point has to be, okay, this is Europe's premier competition, these are all going to be good. You then compare it to what it could have been, and that's how you assess whether it's a gentle draw or not. So when Celtic had to face two teams from pot one, those teams were Real Madrid, Man City, Bayern Munich, PSG, Liverpool, Inter, Dortmund, Leipzig and Barcelona. And they got Dortmund and Leipzig. Mm-hmm. That's their two big boys.
Yeah.
So nobody's saying it's easy, but that could not have been much better from pot one in terms of the stature. Once you get into pot two, it starts to really balance itself up a bit more. But you're looking at Bayer Leverkusen and how excellent they were last season, so you're maybe looking to avoid them. Arsenal are a pot two team, so you're maybe looking to avoid them. There's like Juve and Benfica and whatever else. And so again, from pot two, Celtic get Atalanta and Club Brugge. So, you know,
not bad.
It isn't. And then the other side of that, pot four, by a distance, not by a distance, but pot four, one of the best teams for sure would be Villa, and that's away. So that's a tough game. Similarly, you know, a couple coming out of pot three as well. So you have to view it versus what it could have been, and it could have been so much worse.
Yeah, Bill, you look at actually Villa's group, it just flashed up there, and some of the big hitters they got. I think they got Bayern Munich, they got Juventus, they've obviously got Celtic, which it's a difficult game for them, so it could have been much worse, no doubt about it. And you look at the old format and what Celtic have been presented with, and when they do get some of these glamour ties, you remember that you play them home and away, so you're playing Real Madrid twice. What's the likelihoods of you getting any points out of that? Zero. You then, you know, go into the second seed team and so on and so forth. So this, I wasn't quite sure about this format, and even until the draw I was thinking, how does this all work? And is this going to be better than the other format? But right away, when I've seen the group and I see how, you know, you play alternate fixtures, home and away, it's quite intriguing. And I'm mm-hmm. quite looking forward to see how it all pans out. But I think it favours Celtic, I really do, because I think there's points on the board there to be won. Certainly at the home games, or three of those home games, I think you'd look to take 9 points out of that right away. And once you win a couple, confidence builds within the group.
Well, here, Gordon, as an example, I think this is Lille's group. Okay, so mm-hmm. if you swap out Lille and your Celtic, Lille are going to face Real Madrid, Liverpool, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, Feyenoord, Sporting, Sturm Graz and Bologna. So that's the type of draw you can get versus what Celtic got.
Yeah, and in terms of on paper, it looks decent. Let's be honest about it. But we've been here before. Teams that Celtic look at, and they're not what you call the glamour teams, and they come to Celtic sure. Park and I go, and listen, and probably at times outplay Celtic.
Did you share Douglas's frustration then? And I now looking at that draw, it's like, could we have given that if we'd given the transfer market a bit more of a go, we could really have done something in this group.
I totally agree. I think every Celtic fan will probably be happy with that. Yes, of course, you want the big teams to come to your park and atmosphere and play against the Real Madrids and Barcelona. But if you're looking, and I totally agree with Mark, I'd look at the format today. I really like the look of it. I think that if you can be successful, and I think this is where it's going to happen for Celtic, if they're going to do anything at all, their home form's got to be really good. Because you look at the away ones, Dortmund, for instance, as well. Dortmund are a terrific team. But at home, if they can get something now, Mark's got 9 points right away. On paper, you would maybe fancy that the way Celtic are. But I just think that we've got to be careful not get carried away with it.
Douglas, is there a bit of sort of glamour and intrigue there as well, particularly those two away ties, Villa Park and going to Dortmund as well? They must be exciting.
I think it'd be a lot. Birmingham will be absolutely overrun with Celtic fans, which is great. But there's no tie that feels that Celtic, I think, we'll go into thinking we're going to get hammered here. I mean, we'll probably lose all the 4-0, no doubt. But then I think like in terms right now, you're thinking like there's no one you fear. But Borussia Dortmund aren't quite who they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. I mean, still an excellent team, but I think it's very, very doable, and I think that's where the sort of you sit back and think, that's frustrating. We didn't really pick up another one or two excellent players to help us along the way. But we always seem to unearth a lesser known team who are brilliant. So no doubt Bratislava or Dinamo will end up doing a lot better than everyone expects.
The highest ranked teams in Celtic's group, as we said, are the two German teams. There is that right? Yeah. Leipzig and Dortmund. They finished fourth and fifth in the Bundesliga last season. So again, if you're pitching it again, you're going into the Champions League. You know you're going to play teams from the so-called Big Five leagues in Europe. If the top-ranked teams that you got drawn against were fourth and fifth in the Bundesliga, that tells you this draw could have been a million times worse.
Yeah, but what we've got to take into consideration as well, we don't know what they've added to their squad in the summer.
But that's the point. No, this is not me saying Celtic are better than these teams.
No.
They're still going to be extremely difficult opponents. Versus what the Champions League can do.
If you were sitting there and Brendan Rodgers was able to pick out the two from pot one, probably been down that road. Yeah, well, I think we'd all agree with it. So the draw for me is favour Celtic, and I keep going back to it on paper. I totally agree with Douglas. I think that Celtic might look now and think, do you know what? Seeing that draw, if we could have just added one or two more quality players in there, gives you such a better opportunity, because your home form in this league is going to be so important. And on their night, Champions League, packed Celtic Park with that atmosphere, of course they can go and pick up points, but still difficult.
Don't get me wrong, the obvious way to offset that is Dortmund were finalists in this competition last season. So exactly. Like I say, this is not about over-exaggerating it, it's just about looking at what the other possibilities are. I think that's all you can really do when you get to this stage. Douglas, you said you're frustrated, you don't feel enough's been done. If this £11 million for Arne Engels goes through, what do you make of that?
Sorry, was that for me?
Yeah.
I think it looks like a great signing, and it's nice to see that money being spent. But I think my fear is that if they spend that one player, they're maybe not going to go out and get another couple of £5 million players, knowing the way the Celtic board are. So that was kind of my thoughts, because... But I think he looks like a brilliant player, and if he can come in and hit the ground running, he clearly wants to come to Celtic. And I think I actually seen comments that Clement made when he played him in Belgium, saying that he was a great player or something like that, and he'd hate to play against him. I don't know if I think I saw that, but so obviously Clement knows him and sort of fears him that way. So I think he looks like a great signing, so really excited to see him and a left back, actually, because Barcelona don't extend people's contracts unless they've got something about them. So
Alex Valle, I think he's actually speaking to the media this evening, so we'll see how he fits in. Thank you very much to Douglas. What do you make of that Champions League draw? What about transfers? What about other European action tonight? Anything else at all? Good time to give us a shout, and we'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here to be joined on the line by Ross, who's a Celtic fan. Leipzig, Dortmund, Bruges, Atalanta, Young Boys, Dinamo Zagreb, Bratislava and Aston Villa. Ross, what's your verdict?
Hi guys, first of all, I'm a bit sceptical of that draw, to be honest. I get it, you're in the Champions League and you're going to get hit with big teams, but my concern is away to Dortmund and away to Villa. I think they two are hard, and Atalanta as well, so I'm a bit sceptical of that draw, to be honest. I'm a bit worried.
So you think this is a harder draw than Celtic could have got?
Not a harder draw, but I just think that I was looking forward to this new format to see how it's going to pan out, and I just think when you look at some of the away ties we've got, Celtic in Europe are the best of times, and I just think over the years in Europe we've suffered some hefty defeats, and I just think when you look at the teams that we've got and the amount of money these teams spend, now Celtic have only brought in two new players this transfer window. We brought in Bernardo, he was there last year, and Ida was there last year, so we've only actually replaced two players. And for me, I don't think we've got the squad depth to do the Champions League this year, I don't.
And that's the thing, Mark, it's like, that is understandable, these are good teams, but I think your alternate, you can't, in this format of the Champions League, you're going to play eight teams, you can't play teams that don't have money, do you know what I mean? So it's sort of... You're looking at what's the best of a bad bunch, or whatever the phrase would be. So, in isolation, obviously Ross is right. Like Dortmund's tough, Atlanta. These teams have more money than Celtic, but like pretty much everyone in the competition will.
You are in the elite competition, European competition. If you wanted to come up against equals to you, then you're talking Conference League, and even in that league, some people have got more money. So the Champions League, you're always going to be dwarfed by budget because of our surroundings in the league we're in. That's just the position we're in this country. But there is still teams. You have to look at the way as well Celtic are playing at the minute and think they're in a good place. And then I'm sure over the days and weeks, people start doing their analysis on that opposition. I was just quickly looking at Young Boys there, who don't look like they've started their league particularly good. I know they won it last year, but they're sitting bottom just now after five games, not won a game. And you're thinking, well, you know, how does, you know, you have to take into consideration who you're up against. So Celtic will fancy themselves against some, but they'll obviously know there's big tests there.
What type of teams would you have preferred, Ross, if this draw gives you the fear?
I get the top two we got, right, I'm happy with that, because obviously the fact is you're going to get hit with a Real Madrid, Man City, Atletico. I just think, obviously, when you look at Aston Villa, right, I wouldn't be writing Aston Villa off. I wouldn't be writing Atalanta off. The Croatian team, again, it's a hit and a miss what they're like. I don't watch them every week, so I can't comment on them. But I just think that, for me, Celtic knew this was going to happen. We were going to get this new format, and I'm a bit, like the first caller, I'm a bit annoyed that we haven't been out and, no splash of cash, but we haven't been out and tried to strengthen in a couple of positions, because we've now lost O'Reilly, and yet we've yet to bring anybody in to replace him. So we're essentially going to this Champions League with the same squad as last year, apart from the left back and the new goalkeeper. So my concern is that it's going to come back to bite us, and we're going to take some hefty defeats.
I think this time tomorrow, Gordon, is you almost have to just wait, because, well, Adam Ida wasn't part of the Champions League last season because he came January, so it's not the same squad in that department. Yes, Matt O'Reilly's gone. Will Arnie Ingles arrive to replace him? Does Austin Trusty come into the midfield? So if those do, I don't suppose that's... I'm not saying that's an unbelievable, brilliant, you know, amazing window, but it's a bit closer to what Ross would have wanted than as we sit here right now.
Yeah, I think you've got to be fair, Gordon. Celtic have come in for a little bit of criticism. It's how long it's taken to get new recruitments through the door. But you've got to give them to tomorrow night till the transfer window's closed. I totally agree. I think that looking at the new format, the Champions League. Looking at the amount of games, and Celtic will probably, the way they are, go to, a lot of people fancy them to go and win the treble. They'll certainly go to the later stages of the cup, probably, unless something really strange happens. They're obviously favourites to go and win the league as well. There's a lot of fixtures in there, Gordon, a lot of fixtures. And I think Celtic, probably recruitment-wise, even if they get two in tomorrow, I think they've left themselves a bit short for that.
Perhaps, but time will tell. With that, I mean, sometimes
look, to
you
be
can
fair, though, even now, it doesn't look like it's going to be much more than that. That would be really surprising, would it not?
Yeah, I just mean in terms of how these people react to this first part of the season from now until January. Sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes people are playing well and avoid injury, and you run with your squad. However, there will be problems, and people will call up if in a couple of weeks some key players get injured, and that's just the nature of football, where it's a fine balance. Do you go out and add to your squad and add that quality that Daz and Ross are talking about and be left with an inflated squad, or do you run with what you've got? I think it would be somewhere in between for Brendan Rodgers. He maybe would have liked one or two more, but they've left it so late that Engels will probably get over the line, maybe one more, and that'll be it.
What do you make of the home ties, Ross? Leipzig, Club Brugge, Young Boys and Slovan Bratislava. If you're looking at roughly, and I don't like predicting these things, roughly 9 points maybe to try and get through the group, those four games at home, is it achievable or still too much?
Yeah, no, I think the home ties, I think we should be okay in terms of to try and get points at home. As I say, my only concern is the away ties we've got, and obviously Celtic in Europe at the best of times haven't been at it. So that's my concern, that the away ties is the ones that's going to get to us. But again, just see obviously what you're saying about obviously bringing in one or two. I don't know if it's something that we can, but it's even like the boys, Matt Hummels, he's now a free agent. Why are we not going and trying to get him? I mean, we don't need to pay a fee for him, so I don't get why we're not trying players like that to bring in for experience. I know obviously the boy at Motherwell, Lennon Miller, there was talk of him, but again, for me, I just think that we need to, if the Celtic are ambitious about Europe, and we keep hearing this, that they want to be a European club, sometimes you need to spend a bit of cash to get players in, to get somewhere in Europe. And for me right now, it just looks as if we've no ambition again whatsoever to do anything in Europe.
Yeah, I can understand that, but you've got to give a little bit of credit if they're going to splash out £11 million on a player. You know what I mean? It's never been done before. Edward, I think, was the nine. So you've got to give them a bit of credit in that. And I keep saying, yes, I totally agree with everybody that tells me that they've sort of laboured in the transfer window, but it's still open to tomorrow. I don't know what the business will
okay,
be
but
done.
Okay, but let's, just as it stands right now, if it was to be Arnie Ingles.
And he drove the...
And Austin Trusty.
Yeah.
Right, let's assume that's the two. Is that enough?
In my opinion, for the amount of games that's going to come, no.
And as well as Valle, Eden, Bernardo.
Mm-hmm. From now to the end.
From now to the end.
Because I think there was no secret. Did Brendan Rodgers wanted midfielders before O'Reilly left?
Yeah.
So if Ingles comes in...
Or maybe he was saying that, known fine well. Where O'Reilly was going to end.
It certainly looked like they were looking at Bogut's, though, weren't they? And that doesn't seem to be materialising.
Look, I'm sure, like I say, it's somewhere in between for Brendan Rodgers. He doesn't want Deadwood just clogging up the squad, but he doesn't want to be left short. So maybe you're right. Maybe one more would have been his preference. But if the board are willing to pay £11 million, I'm sure that's the type of quality and bravery and progression that he was asking from his board, to go that extra. Don't pay £6 million, go to £11 million. Don't pay £5 million for either, pay the £9 million. And they've pushed the board out, so pushed the boat out. So for the criticism the board take and how long it's taking, you can't point the finger and say they've not spent money in this window.
Yeah, but how much money they've spent, Mark? Because one of the signings, a free transfer, Schmeichel, free transfer. I know the overspend for people in Ida, but that was number one priority.
You are potentially looking at what, £17 million for Ingles and Trusty, and then you're up at 26 million on players if you add Ida in.
Well, that's one player out the window.
25.
You know, that's a Matt O'Reilly, you know, swapping those players for Matt O'Reilly.
And then sold
and top of that, you've still got all this Champions League money, you've got all the riches that have sold.
Mikey Johnson might be going for £3 million.
So I've got to say, right, as much as Celtic take a bit of criticism for incomings, the way they can get people out that door, and I'm not being disrespectful here, guys like Mikey Johnson, people like that, £2.5 million, they recruit some great money in. So their business coming in the way has been brilliant. I think they've laboured, going out the way has been brilliant. I think they've laboured coming in.
Thank you to Ross. What about Andy, who's a Celtic fan? Verdict on the draw, Andy?
Over the moon.
Yeah?
I don't think you could have handpicked a better draw, to be completely honest with you. I heard Ross's concerns, and he's quite right, but for me, the home draws are magnificent. I mean, you can't say what the permutations will be in terms of what points you need, but I think people are saying maybe 10 points, 9 points, or you're going to get in the top 24. For me, we couldn't have picked better. And I just hope that tomorrow, we've been looking, and we've all said consistently, but wait to the end of the window. The board now know there's an opportunity to get top 24. If there's money to be pushed, if there's deals to be pushed tomorrow, they should be going ahead and doing it. We could have been drawn in top one against teams. And I think the home-away ratio is fell in our favour as well. We're not playing any. If we had any of the sort of a super teams at home, if we fought one or pot, I mean, we could have bloody Barcelona or Arsenal. If we had home ties against them, you wonder whether the board go, well, the chance of progression in Champions League might be less. I do think that the last name that came out on the draw, Aston Villa, throws a wee bit of chuck. Atlanta, yeah, obviously away from home, Aston Villa away from home are difficult. I don't know about the other two. Dortmund, obviously, I don't think we'll get much there. But the home games, honestly, I mean, Leipzig being the top seed right now, Celtic qualified the top 24 and he was against what seeded team? Leipzig. You wouldn't bet against them going to the last 16. I don't know where Leipzig is in the squad, but just in terms of who we missed, I think it's a great draw. And I still believe we'll bring in 3 players tomorrow.
It has to be about those home ties, really. If you're assessing, you know, where can you pick up your points and therefore what gives you the chance of progressing? Because even in the old format, you would always look at Celtic's 3 home games, or any team's 3 home games, haven't travelled particularly well. I know home hasn't been a very successful place either. But the way they've been split, the hardest teams are away, obviously. Really, aren't they? In Dortmund and Aston Villa.
Leipzig at home presents a real challenge, no doubt about it. And Celtic fans will be well aware, having faced them recently in this competition. So they know what to expect there. But the other ones, like, you've got to think, if your ambitions are getting better in Europe and progressing, you've got to beat the likes of Bratislava and you've got to beat Young Boys at home. You know, they're just a given if you want to compete in this competition.
Is it all about that, Andy? Is there any, because this will depend on your personal preference, I guess. Is there any part of you that wanted a bit more glamour at home, like you've seen in previous seasons, or are you fed up with that?
I think, to be fair, the home games will be full. The stadium will be full. I mean, the atmosphere will be there. We've sampled the big ties. Let's get a big tie in the playoff tie or dream further for the last 16. Keep the big boys to the end. Let's get through first.
We'll be getting ahead of ourselves here, Andy. Maybe a bit.
No answer, Andy.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Andy. Be brave.
I lost reception there. Can you hear me?
Are we getting ahead of ourselves? I'm asking.
Boss, I just I lost connection there for a wee bit. If I'm missing the question, I'll dodge it, but I don't mean to. I think you said that would we like to have one of the bigger names at this stage? No, not really. We've done that before. I said that I'd prefer to have them in the playoff tie or shoot for the sky and go get one of them in the last 16.
And that was the point when I asked.
Get him again.
I asked, yeah, are you getting ahead of yourself?
Well, I lost connection. No, listen, it's the draw obviously gets you excited, and let's see what our squad's looking like tomorrow night, and we'll obviously get an understanding of where the other teams. I think Gordon said earlier on that, was it Atlanta or Bottom of the league? I'm not sure, but we'll have a better understanding by tomorrow night where we're going to compete. But listen, if you said, would you rather have Real Madrid or Leipzig from that pot? Take likes about every single day of the week.
We will see. Thank you very much to Andy on the usual number. We've got Twitter for you as well if you want to get your thoughts in. We're going to go to Kilmarnock because they're the earlier kickoff of the two teams. They're getting ready to take on Copenhagen in their qualifier tonight. So we're going to go there next, but keep your calls coming in whilst I run this past you. There is £300,000 up for grabs on the cash register tomorrow, and just think of what you could do with that cash. Honestly, I'm not asking what you would do with it, Gordon Dale.
Golf clubs he would get.
I don't want to know. How many Oasis tickets could you buy for that?
I would buy the stadium.
They're quite pricey though, yeah. I've noticed. But anyway, if you're not in the draw yet, make sure you're involved by texting yes to 61025. If you do it now, it's 5 entries for the price of 1 text entry. Bit of value for you. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 452. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. You are running out of time. Lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow, Friday. Answer your phone within the five rings if the lucky call comes. Tell us the cash register amount, £300,000, and it would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Just imagine. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A lot of excitement around because there are so many talking points for us tonight. What a joy that is. Don't need to listen to these two waffling on, burning each other with hot pens that they've dipped.
There'll be no burning anymore.
Drinks or whatever it is, because we can focus on the serious stuff. The Champions League draw, European qualification action tonight, the transfer window, certain derby game on Sunday. There is a lot happening. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. Let's go to Rugby Park. Andrew McLean is going to set the scene because we're only 15 minutes away from kickoff in that one, Andrew.
Yeah, another massive European night for Kilmarnock. They'll be hoping that this isn't their final one of the season as well, but it is a real tough task they've got on their hands. We talked about it on the show last week. Copenhagen were in the knockout stages of the Champions League last season, a team with a good bit of European pedigree about them, some good players in there too, and despite the fact, you know, Kilmarnock will have been happy with most of really what they saw from the away game last week. The fact they managed to stay in it as well. That 96th minute goal was the real killer, wasn't it? That means it's 2-0 on aggregate. It makes the task so much harder tonight. At 1-0, you thought Kilmarnock could have gone out and maybe caused a real shock early and the tie was in the balance, but they've just got a lot more to do now with it being 2-0. It'll need to be an almighty performance from Dennett McInnes' side if they want to do it tonight. But can they get that early goal? Can they rock their opponents? Can they throw the tie up in the air? They'll hope that they can really make these fans believe, the fans that are still making their way into the stadium at the moment. They'll hope that they can inspire them a bit, that they can do something early in this game to really get this place rocking and see if they can cause that big upset and get into the league phase of the Europa Conference League. In terms of team news tonight, it's going to be a 4-4-2 that Kilmarnock line up in. It's always very fluid though with Dennett McInnes in terms of switching from a back three to a back four. Kieran O'Hara in goal for them. The back four, Jack Burrows, Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo and Stuart Finlay. The midfield four, Danny Armstrong, Brad Lyons, Liam Donnelly and Matty Kennedy. It's Marley Watkins and Kyle Vassell, the front two. The substitutes, McCrory and Daba Dees, McKenzie, Mackay Stephen, Watson, Cameron, Anderson, Wales, Brannan, Polworth and Bainbridge. The sun is shining here at Rugby Park. There is a few hundred Copenhagen fans over to my left as well that will be hoping they can see their team progress in this one. But Kilmarnock fans, I'm sure, will have just a wee bit of belief that maybe they can cause that upset they're looking for.
Doesn't look that nice in Clydebank, to be honest. Yeah. I guess that's the beauty of Ayrshire. These games, these situations, kind of reminds me of game one of the Euros. Right, when you're 90 minutes away, you're taking on Germany, all the evidence just tells you that you can't win the game and you won't win the game, but you just get that belief and you maybe. What's Kilmarnock's chance tonight? Is it realistic 2-0 down to a team that was right in the Champions League last 16?
Here's what's going to happen. They're either going to get out there and score a few goals or they're going to lose heavily here, because he certainly went for it, right? He's got two wingers, he's got two up top. He's at home. He knows he's two behind. He's decided, I may as well go for broke here. I like that approach. I think the Kilmarnock fans will like that approach. But when you do that against good European teams and you're on the front foot and you're leaving yourself a bit exposed, there's quality there that can pick you off. That's a big, big danger. So for him to do anything tonight, His goalkeeper and his back four have got to be solid, because he's certainly got plenty of attacking options.
It's the start that's all important. Sounds obvious, but Daz is right. When he's got four attackers there, two wingers, two strikers, you need to put them in the back foot right away. And Derek touched on that, didn't he? And he's pre-match saying that he needs to, you know, make this place hell for them. And he does, and that's reflected in his team selection. So they need an incredibly quick start. If they can build up momentum and get a few chances and start rocking that Copenhagen defence, who knows the way the game will go. However, if they give away possession easily and allow Copenhagen to dictate the tempo of the game, they will find it difficult.
Well, Killy fans, you can stay in touch if you're unfortunate to not be making it along. Give us a call. We can check in at halftime as well before we leave you tonight. Charles is a Celtic fan. What are you thinking about that Champions League draw, Charles?
As fun as him, it's really weird. Me and my son travel up from England for all the home games. And I know we can never win it at the minute, the way things are in football. So I'd love the Barca, Reals, Arsenals and Liverpools in the world. But at the same time, I want to see them go through the next 16. Because my lad's 13, he's never seen it. So that would be brilliant for me.
That is a good way of looking at it. It's an interesting way of looking at it. When you've got this so-called easier, as people keep saying tonight, draw, it does sort of bring with it its own pressure. Because if you, as Celtic fans, if you fork out for those home games against not very glamorous opposition, and then you don't come through that group, it doesn't, you need one or the other. As Charles has said, in previous years, I think Celtic fans accept they're not going to win the Champions League, and so you take some glamour ties along the way, but there's none of them in Glasgow. RB Leipzig in Glasgow is as glamorous as it gets.
Yeah, but you've got to accept change, surely. You can't, if you're a Celtic fan, can you keep continually moaning there's no progress when you're coming up against some of these superpowers? And we're always talking about the disparity between our budgets and Real Madrid's, or even Atletico Madrid. And it just keeps happening time and time again. You keep getting undone, the same arguments. This new format presents an opportunity for Celtic, but now it's down to the manager and the players to perform against so-called lesser opposition. And it might just work out for them. It's something different. I think that's what's exciting about it. Okay, you're taking away some of the real superstars coming to Celtic Park, but surely you're adding optimism. Actually something, maybe a bit of success come January, where you're progressing.
Are you adding optimism, Charles?
It's one of them real weird ones. We sat and watched it live, me and the lad. We didn't really understand the structure, how it was going to work. You know, with Cristiano pressing a button and all that stuff. We never really understood how it was going to work. But it was dead, dead exciting. And getting the lower-ranked coefficient teams in every group was brilliant. Getting Villa was fantastic. It's just, man, I'm sat on the fence with it all. I love the idea of this new format. And no matter what anybody says, it's a Super League that UEFA wanted. That's what they're getting right now. Absolutely what they're getting. But, yeah, I do love the new format. And I love the idea that we can get all these glamour ties on. But we haven't got a glamour tie apart from Leipzig. The big glamour ties away at Villa that we'll probably get 3,000 fans to get to go to. Hopefully they'll do a fan pack, to be fair. But, yeah, I was calling up to basically about your last three callers are absolutely nattering on about Celtic spending money. We spent 30, according to, again, I live down south. According to down here, we've signed that kid from Sheffield United now. That's a done deal. That's 32 million we spent this transfer window. That's three times more than our closest opponent, whether you want to call that, it could be Aberdeen or Rangers at the minute. But what's this biscuit tin mentality all about?
I think you've got a point. I said similar a couple of minutes ago, saying you cannot point the finger at the Celtic board and say they've not spent money. Do you have to take into consideration what you bring in?
That's if these two get over the line then, okay? Engels and Trusty.
The moan has always been they don't spend money. Even the Celtic manager alluded to it, that it was better to, or be braver in the transfer window and spend a bit more. You've got to say they've listened. They've actually 9 million, 11 million, you know, a couple of million here and there.
Six for Austin Trusty, if it goes through.
If it all goes through, you've got to say they've balanced up brilliantly. Could you look at guys even like,
well, that's the point then, Mark. Million. Is that a way
Mikey Johnson,
you
talk about like, million.
Talk about like net spend.
But do you need to, does every other club do that? when they compare the transfer window, who went out. So if you sell, I don't know, Ronaldo for 100 million, do you always have to bring in 100 million? Surely it's comparable to what you've done in the past and what the actual gripes are. And the gripes pointed at the Celtic board for years is...
is it the sale players and keep frugal. The money?
They keep the money, but they've not. They've spent money.
But Real Madrid can sell Ronaldo for 100 million still win the Champions League. Celtic are trying to progress in Europe. And that's what the Celtic...
and go further on than you were last season.
Yeah, that's what the Celtic fans want. And you do that, and you've admitted it tonight, that you need to splash out cash. Listen, I'm all for waiting for tomorrow night. If Celtic bring these players in, would I say it's a good bit of business? Brilliant.
I think with the best still will in left the world, though, there's not going to be loads more than Ingles and Trusty by tomorrow. I'd love it. I like a busy transfer deadline day as much as the next guy, but it's just... surely history tells you it's not easy just to sudden to dream up players in a day and get it done.
You just wonder if there's one just under the radar. I mean, you're right, history will tell you that those days are all done, where the you know, the last hour some surprise comes. But
I think if they're one under the radar, I'll be alone. I think they'll go down that route.
Okay, thank you to Charles. It takes us up to time for this already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. How will Donut DL bounce back tonight? That is the big question.
I got a call yesterday from someone concerned with Hibs asking me to do the stadium announcer in the future.
Because they always get nil.
No, introduce the McFadden brothers.
Do you know...
I have heard their story, by the way.
Chris,
and it better
listening.
Not be true.
What?
You text them and told them. I'm telling you, I wouldn't like to rob a bank with you. I'd be better just walking in and going, it was me.
He said he was...
grass him up,
He grassed me up. I know you did. I've got inside information.
He was listening to the show. He was listening to the show, What Are the Chances? But he missed that bit.
Yeah, who told
him? So I sent him the clip. It's on Instagram, it's on Twitter, it's everywhere.
I know Chris very well.
Chris Fadden.
The Donut DL is back. Anyway, Beat the Pundit. Lines close at 7. Give us a call. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. One of those nights where the talking points list is long. The Champions League draw has been made. It's a new format, remember. So lots of teams for Celtic to digest. The headlines are Aston Villa away, you would have to say, Borussia Dortmund away, and four slightly, we'll just call it slightly, to keep everybody happy, four slightly more gentle home ties than what it could have been. RB Leipzig, Club Brugge, Young Boys, and Slovan Bratislava. So the proper big elite big hitters have been avoided. What do you make of it? Arnie Ingles potentially arriving for a club record 11 million. Is that going to be enough? Do you think the club should have done more heading into this Champions League group? And anything else on that side of things? The other side of the city, Rangers fans, how are you feeling about Sunday? About transfers? Get your calls in. We are kicking off, well, we've kicked off already actually, at Kilmarnock against FC Copenhagen, and we'll do so soon for Hearts against Victoria Pilsen. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we get on tonight with David, who's in Belsill. How are you, David?
I'm alright, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. Have you ever played before?
No, I have not.
You just heard this guy get a zero the other night and thought, I want a bit of that, didn't you?
Well, that, and I'm stuck in traffic, so I thought, what better way to pass my time?
Exactly, that's a better way to pass the time. Bad news for you, though. The donut the other night moves you to bottom of the table.
I'm a bottom, Emma.
You're the strongest pundit because you're holding up the rest. So, had any feedback out and about for that over the last couple of days?
I took a bit of criticism, but one thing I can do now is handle the criticism.
Where are we talking? Supermarket,
everywhere,
golf course, gym?
Yeah, supermarket. As coffee shops. I shut myself down for a day.
You weren't near yourself the other night, was he? He was feeling a bit under the weather. You were a bit quiet.
I was getting absolute terrible. Yeah. But look, it's all about character. It's all about,
it's how you bounce back from
looking forward to
it?
The next one. If I'm on tonight, I'm prepared to take the challenge.
Right, fair enough. Listen, I like your spirit there. We'll see how it goes. David will take on either Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. You're off the hook. It's Mark Wilson. tonight.
Who's that, David?
You got a team behind you, David?
That's my wee boy, Joshua.
Hiya, Joshua. I hope you help out. I'm sure you'll know all the right answers. Are you going to help out your dad?
I don't know.
We'll wait and see. Did you hear last night? Was it last night? There was eight grandkids in the background.
Eight grandkids?
Was that last night? I'm sure it was. Eight grandkids, a son-in-law.
The Waltons.
Surely they won.
No, they didn't, actually, I don't think.
Who beat them?
Was it Marv?
Marv or Sid? That's a bad group. It was Sid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad night when Sid beat
you. Well, he got the donut last week, remember? Exactly. He's bounced back, so.
Right.
Let's see what we've got, David.
Come on.
Right, anyway.
Good luck.
Let's put something else in Mark Wilson's ear so that he can't hear us, David. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go. Your time starts now. What's the aggregate score going into Hearts Victoria Pilsen tonight?
1-0 Pilsen.
Before Alex Valle, who was the last player Celtic signed from Barcelona?
Mark Bartra.
Who Ollie McBurney is currently playing with which club tonight?
Las Palmas.
At Rangers target Nedim Barami plays for which team?
Sassuolo.
What nationality is Aberdeen manager Yemi Tillin?
Norwegian.
How many teams are in this year's Champions League?
32.
Yanis Hadji joined Rangers from which club?
Fiorentina.
Okay, let's bring him back. Mark Wilson, can you hear
us?
Yes,
I'm back.
Are you okay? You fit?
I'm fit,
aye. I was laughing at the conversation overheard between you two during the news where, having fat shamed you for years on this show, Gordon Dale's now complaining that you're too thin, too skinny.
Did you call me a skinny what?
I don't say it in case it's not particularly good.
Why am I not looking particularly good?
This guy's grafted all summer, lost weight, climbed Kilimanjaro.
I think he wants to run a marathon,
and you're giving him stick.
I think that wee boy just got out of intensive care last week. The one that carried his toilet, because have a look at the way he's lost.
Wee chopper has just been released from intensive care
for him carrying his toilet off, because this guy has faded away.
Every time you keep mentioning donuts, I can't stop thinking of donuts now.
Need a personal trainer. Look at his arms. They're like a pack of polo mints. Look at his statum. How fat they are.
Polo mints.
Holes in them.
No, how fat they are.
How fat they are.
His tattoos are fading away.
Anyway, this is just.
By the way, I get four of them, so I'm expecting you to get about six.
This is more bizarre than normal, Mark. 30 seconds and your time
off right away.
Starts now. What's the aggregate score going into Hearts Victoria Pilsen tonight?
1-0.
Before Alex Valle, who was the last player Celtic signed from Barcelona?
Crosas.
Ollie McBurney is currently playing with which club playing tonight?
Las Palmas.
Rangers target Nedim Barami plays for which club?
Slavia Prague.
What nationality is Aberdeen manager Yemi Tillin?
Swedish.
How many teams are in this year's Champions League?
36.
Yanis Hadji joined Rangers from which club?
Bucharest.
David.
See, I got basically what you got.
David, Joshua, what do you think? You done enough?
I think I might have snuck it, but I'm not sure.
Let's find out.
The aggregate
score going into Hearts Victoria Pilsen is 1-0. You both got it. David, I feel for David here. I think he kind of knew it and then he just misspoke. He said Mark Bartra. That is a former Barca player, but he never played for Celtic. Aye. So it's Mark Crosas. Mark Wilson.
That's a good shout.
I think that's one of those, David, that just kind of comes out, doesn't it? I think you kind of meant Crosas, but that doesn't get you any points, sadly.
No.
Ollie McBurney, Las Palmas, they play Real Madrid tonight.
Mate.
Where did it all go wrong? Ollie McBurney.
Imagine that.
Mate,
I didn't know. Las Palmas is in Gran Canaria. I didn't know that.
See if you were going to just put football to one side and just think, right, hold on a minute. Where are they? I'll live there. I'll play football there.
Constant holiday. Imagine you in Gran Canaria.
I went to play football.
I went my first ever boys' holiday to Gran Canaria.
Puerto Rico or something? Is that in Gran Canaria?
That is. I don't think it was there. But it was interesting.
Lively.
You didn't know that, Ollie McBurney?
No, I didn't. No.
Along with Scott McKenna. They both play for Las Palmas. Where have you been?
Nowhere.
Anyway.
But I just don't follow Ollie McBurney, I'm sorry.
That's quite a big deal. But anyway, Rangers target Nedim Barami plays for Sassuolo. David got it.
What? How'd you get that?
He's a Rangers fan. He's desperate for this guy to sign.
Rangers fan.
It's been up there all night.
Has it?
Yeah.
He's the big hope. Anyway, right, we're level. Jimmy Tolina's Swedish, I'm afraid, David.
Yes. Did you think Norwegian?
I was going to say Norwegian.
I knew you were a senior.
Very unlucky, David.
36 teams, David, in the Champions League. He's pulling away from you.
I think I've just sneaked it. He's given it.
And Yanis Hadji, for the record, joined from Genk, but it wasn't enough. It was a win for Mark Wilson. Hard lines, David.
Peep the horn, David.
No, I'm stuck in traffic.
Aye, come on, he's a big David.
There you go.
Everybody will be watching me.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah, got to beat the finger.
Look at this guy.
David, you did shout out enthusiastically that you are a Rangers fan. How do you feel about the transfer window, the game this Sunday?
Transfer window's been all right. I think as far as rebuilding goes, it's been okay. Sunday, I'm not going to lie, I think Celtic would be strong favourites, and I'd be surprised if we came out of there with a win, but a draw would be a very, very decent result, I think.
What makes you say the window's been okay up to this point? What's pleased you?
I think Barron's been a cracking signing. I think Jeff Day's looked pretty good, although maybe slightly rogue at times. I don't know what we'll see of Ingemane. I haven't seen much of Proper. I did see he was a bit ropey, but it's been decent. And the names that we've been linked with in the last 24 hours or so look okay, but it is what it is. We'll just have to wait and see.
Philippe Clement said at the weekend he expects a busy week and he expects more incoming than outgoing. It's Thursday night and there's been nothing. Apart from it was Ben Davis after that, I think it was. And by the way, that can change. Of course it can. But I've seen, you know, the Rangers fans on social media say, right, they maybe expected it to start picking up a bit of pace. Scott Wright is really meant to be joining Birmingham. I mean, it's on, as far as I understand.
He'll be at an airport.
He's the greatest survivor.
No, it's going to happen. He'll be at an airport and then he'll turn up and he'll play on Sunday.
It's on and it should be happening, right? Can Todd Cantwell go to Blackburn again? You're waiting on these. David, as he said on Beat the Pundit, Nadeem Barami is the kind of big one in it. Similar-ish to Celtic, just in terms of the sort of numbers that we were talking about. It doesn't look like it's going to be that busy, but maybe it will. Maybe there's a surprise out there.
Well, no, it doesn't, but we see that a lot. Only when you're in the inner workings of these clubs do you actually know how close you are. It's so frustrating for fans because they get themselves hyped up at the end of the transfer window and quite often left deflated. But Rangers, I think, need bodies in. Let's be honest, their goal is to topple Celtic, and Celtic look incredibly strong.
What is holding Cantwell's move up? I thought that was all signed, sealed and delivered.
The manager now says not bringing anybody else in now.
I thought Scott Wright was sort of closer, if you like, or a more done thing, but yeah, you're right. I don't know. It could be a number of things.
And
Scott Wright, I understand, has been down there since yesterday and trying to get something done.
And that's probably what could be holding up maybe another possible signing if those wages get freed up. And Todd Cantwell, you'll expect, being a decent contract. Scott Wright gets done, gives the manager a bit of freedom. He might have someone in the wings waiting, but they've got to be careful because everybody won't wait about for Rangers, Celtic or whoever just to come in and decide when they want to sign them. There'll be other clubs there, and you know what like it is before tomorrow night. There'll be a rush of people trying to get deals over the line.
Yeah, I mean, David's saying he's not that confident about Sunday. Do you understand that? That's not a huge, bold, controversial statement, is it?
Look, I think they're getting a little bit better with more confidence after the weekend, Gordon. They banged in six. She had Desers knocking the goals in. They looked defensively good. Okay, people say, well, it was Ross County, they lost to Spartans, but you still got to beat them. Plus the fact it wasn't Ibrox, it was Hampden. But watching Celtic on Sunday again, the loss of Matt O'Reilly, you think, how's that going to affect him? Bernardo looks like, to me, I think Bernardo in the years to come will be a top, top player. I think he's got everything in his locker. Celtic, you know, they've got the fact that Kyogo loves this fixture as well. Kuhn is at his top of his form. They're at Celtic Park. It's stacked against Rangers. And it's all cliche, we've seen it before, that sometimes the favourites don't always win the game, but if you were your last 20 pence, I think it would be your own Celtic.
Okay, please gamble responsibly. Yeah, thank you to David pence, on the line and 01419511025. Keep your thoughts coming. Champions League draw, transfer window. The good thing about transfer window, I'm talking to you all. It doesn't matter who you support. I know Arnie Ingles is, you know, the big one. Matt O'Reilly's been the big one, and it's Celtic and Rangers and what can happen Sunday. But the lot of you, who else needs to do what? Can you bring in players at Hibs to improve things? Or Motherwell, I see you linked with a return for Jack Vale, who was there, of course, on loan last season. There will be a lot happening on the subject. Michael Steele tweeted to say, does the panel think McCowan from Dundee would be a good signing for Celtic with Mikey Johnson leaving? Adds to homegrown for Europe. I mean, it would be like academy grown, but yeah, homegrown.
Yeah, it'd be association, mm-hmm. wouldn't it? Grown players. Like, if it was to fill that quota, then maybe. But again, are you bringing players that are going to make a difference to your squad? That's the point. Celtic have had these players and let them leave, or maybe players every bit as good as McCown. McCown's a good player. We discussed him a couple of weeks ago in the show. I just don't think he'll take Celtic forward, or himself for that matter forward. I think he's better playing where he is, or
Hibs
or a bigger club traditionally.
See, when you've got to this stage though, and could Celtic, if Celtic can't get a certain target in that area, right, say it was Bogut's from LAFC, do they still need a midfielder? And I know the Celtic fans won't want to hear it, and it's all well and good Brendan Rodgers saying he doesn't want to just fill up the squad. Just do you lower your sights slightly and still try and get another midfielder?
Are you talking about lad for Dundee?
Oh, okay. Just as an example, someone like that, not necessarily him. Because every manager, do you know what it's worth?
I don't think Brendan Rodgers in the market just to bring in shit fillers.
You know, the thing is, I feel every manager of every club says that. You know, they always say, I want players that are going to come in and make a difference to the start. They always say that, but mm-hmm. inevitably, you just, you know, you might be signing someone that's
they know the levels the players are at.
That's a better option than Iwata and a better option than Odin, Thiago, Holm, but still that 10%. Short of making that starting 11 better. Is it possible?
Well, look, when you look at who Celtic have got just now, I think Iwata's done a decent job for Celtic, and I think a lot of fans like him. You pair him with McGregor, then you go Hatate, Bernardo, Engels, who's coming in. You've got a good group there. Now, Holm, I just sometimes forget about Holm sometimes, but
played a bit more this season though.
You just wonder, with Brendan Rodgers' track record in developing players, if that time spent with him, we might see a bit more of Holm and in a better light this year, and maybe he thinks he's got enough. That's why he wouldn't go for someone like McCown. So you need to just be careful that, you know, you're bringing in a player like McCown, but you're stunting his development. Before you know it, you've got an unhappy player because you can't dislodge who's in front of him. That's why I think for all parties, he'd be better playing at a Hibs or maybe somewhere down south.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's go to Tynecastle, the second big European game we've got involving our Scottish clubs tonight. Gabriel is there.
Yes, Gordon, a pivotal match for Stephen Naismith and his team. They'll hope their stuttering start to the season comes to an end just in time, with a place in the Europa League group stage on the line. The task? To overturn a one-goal deficit against Victoria Poulsen.
Gabs, just very quickly, goal Kilmarnock. Yes. That is the start they were looking for. That is exactly it. Try and get that place rocking, get Copenhagen worried. It's a awful, crowded penalty box. The ball's flying everywhere. Who cares? It's forced over the line. And you have to say, that's game on.
Well, it's tie on. Massive.
VAR check, though.
Oh, right, okay. But that's what Derek decided to do tonight. Go on the front foot, try and get that early goal, try and get the crowd up for it, try and get the players going. Mm-hmm. And if that stands, that's a terrific start.
Brilliant.
For them.
Right, sorry, Gabs, carry on. I will interrupt you if the goal gets ruled out. But other than that, the floor is yours.
No, Gordon, that's the exact same kind of start that Hearts would want, to get this place rocking, just filling out around me. They really need to get the crowd are behind them straight away, because it's been such a poor start to the season here. I was here at the opening day, a 0-0 draw against Rangers, and it was really positive. But since then, they've lost four in a row. In fact, they've only won one game since the start of April. When you look at the Czech opposition, they've won five in a row. Poulsen had the last weekend off as well, so they've had 7 days rest since the first leg. Just to make matters worse, Gordon, captain Lawrence Shanklin is out for the crucial tie. A knee problem means he'll miss a potential 100th appearance for the club, and what a blow that is. The Scotland international may not have had a great start to the campaign, but he is undoubtedly their talisman. I'll give you the quick team news. Shanklin out is one of five changes he's missing. Spittle, Salazar, Forrest, Danda are all out as well from the weekend's defeat to Motherwell. In come Devlin, Penrice, Grant, Vargas and Boyce. Quick run through the 11. Looks like it'll be a 3-5-2 formation. Craig Gordon's in goal. A defence of Frankie Kent, Kai Rowles and Stephen Kingsley. The wing-backs will be Gerald Taylor and James Penrice, with Malachi Boateng, Cammy Devlin and George Grant in the middle. Kenneth Vargas supports Liam Boyce up top. But no need to be so negative, Gordon. Stephen Naismith was full of positives yesterday, full of belief. He said he knows his team can do it because they did similarly last year. They came from behind to beat Rosenborg, if you remember, a year ago to reach the Conference League. But Naismith wants his side to replicate that performance, replicate that atmosphere and go one better and reach the Europa League proper. Kick-off, Gordon, 25 minutes away.
Goal stands. Kilmarnock lead Copenhagen by a goal to nil. And let's hope they can kick on and follow that up with a second. Lawrence Shankland out for Hearts. Hard to imagine any team that sort of relies on one goal scorer as much. Can you two, honestly, Gabs, I do apologise. The reason that these two are laughing, they just love the little picture of you that pops up on the screen.
Which picture is it?
No, good one.
Put it this way, it's not your profile for Tinder.
I actually don't think it's that bad. I genuinely don't. It's just like a selfie of you at, I don't know, some sort of fancy European stadium.
Is that a handlebar moustache you've got there, Gabs?
Right, I've got to change this. I don't even know what it is, but I'm changing it.
And what about the visitors?
I don't mind it. I don't think it's that bad.
There was a nice photo of me and the Dazzler from Germany that I could use.
Exactly.
Give him a chuckle, all right?
Use that, mate. Anyway, you get that photo.
Seriously, Lawrence Shanklin being out is more important than his facial hair, right? Yeah, believe it or not. So,
look, it's a huge blow. You're right. The goals alone, and Shanklin hasn't started the season particularly well in terms of goal scoring, but you know he's always a threat. But we talk about a lot. What else he adds to the team in terms of his leadership qualities, but his hold up play, you know, he makes the ball stick, he can bring others into play. And, you know, Hearts, the way they play, sometimes they play him the number 10, they'll play Vargas off him without real pace. You just lose all that. So it's a huge blow for them. And what's a really important night, I feel, for Stephen Naismith, because he's put a lot of emphasis on this European campaign, in terms of rotation and things like that.
I think, to state the obvious, Gordon, it's if we're comparing the two, Hearts are only one goal behind when Killie were two. Pilsen aren't as good as Copenhagen. So in theory, this should be a real chance. 1-0 away is fine. They've got Pilsen have got a really good home record. Hearts should in theory be able to give this a really good go.
Shanklin does a miss, but here's where I'll sort of I know what Gabs is saying, because as a manager you're saying, look, it's got to be rocking here. Get out, get the fans behind you, get them up for it. They can be patient. They're only one behind. You know, they're at home. They don't need to open their cell up, because if they open their cell up and lose another goal, I think that's where all the pressure will happen for Naismith and Hearts. And I don't know if Hearts are strong enough characters just now to handle that. So for me, I don't think they have to be too attacking. As much as you want to be in the front foot, you want to go and test this team, just be careful you don't give them any confidence at all by getting a second goal. Kilmarnock are completely different. They had to go. Derek McInnes decided, I'm playing four strikers, I'm going to try and get that early goal, I'm going to try and turn this tie on its head, and it's worked for them. Hearts are just a slightly bit different tonight. They can be a little bit more patient.
Okay, is it transfer window? Is it the Champions League draw? Tonight's European action, Sunday's game, whatever it is, good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call and tweet us at Clyde SSB if you would prefer. Or your third method of communication tonight can be email, if you want to submit a question on the full time teaser. That's what Kane Cook. What a cool name that is.
That's brilliant,
Kane Cook.
I like the sound of that.
That's good, isn't it?
It's like Hollywood movie.
It is.
Character. What sort of character is he?
Got to be a baddie.
I think so. Kane Cook, yeah.
Nah, super villain. A cowboy.
A modern day cowboy.
Like Yellowstone.
That's the one, yeah.
I can see that.
And comes Kane Cook to the bar.
Let's elaborate the story. What happens when he gets in the bar?
What are you having, Kane?
Whiskey.
No, I don't, because he's told me many times what his favourite bits of Yellowstone are, and I don't want them, I don't want them shared.
Oh, yeah.
Can you name the last nine appearances? Last Celtic, you've got me losing the plot here. Mm-hmm. The last nine Celtic players to score in their first Old Firm appearance. Can you name the last nine Celtic players to score in their first?
Kilgore must be one.
Appearance.
Surely.
No.
No, it can't be one then.
Rogic.
No. Oh, what? Is it? Sorry. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Which one, Kilgore or Rogic?
Rogic is correct. Yeah.
Well done, Mark.
Thanks.
Ryan Christie.
Oh, no.
I'm unlucky.
Mm-hmm. Edward.
Yes.
Dumbelli.
Yes. He not only scored one, he got three, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, Abada.
No.
No.
Right, we'll leave it there for now because that's plenty. So we'll leave it there for now. Can you name the last nine Celtic players to score in their first Old Firm appearance? And remember, if you want to submit a question to us, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. David's a Celtic fan on the line. What have you got for us tonight, David?
Good evening, guys. I would like to see Stuart Armstrong's a free agent at the moment. He's not got a club. I would like to see him be brought back in as a squad player. And also, I would like to see Celtic go to Liverpool for young Doak and bring him in as a third choice striker. Whether it's a loan deal with Liverpool or whether we take him back. I mean, he came through with youth academy, so he knows Celtic. And add them to our squads at the moment, along with anybody else that's going to come in the centre half we're looking at. And bolster our squad for Europe.
Two good names that we know and recognise. Let's start with Stuart Armstrong, squad player, Celtic. Would you go for it?
Difficult one. I think he's a good pro, good player. It's a good time at Celtic. I was a big fan. He's a free agent. Would he do you a turn in games? He probably would. Don't know if Celtic would go down that avenue, but just going on to David's other point, I'm a believer in this, and people shoot me down flames. I think you need quite a few strikers if you're Celtic. I know you talk about Kyogo, Admida, and Maeda can play up there, right? But you like to play him probably off the wing. I would like to see just one under them. Now, the big question is, everybody will be asking, well, how can you keep all these strikers happy? I'm talking about somebody that's just ready to play in games. Yeah.
I think, but Brendan Rodgers said, was it Friday, that he did hope that was going to be the case, but he hoped it would be one from like the academy. Something like that.
That's my point.
I think
that's
now
exactly
it's not going to happen, is it? Because I know there was rumours of Edward during the week, but how often are you going to need Dyson Maeda to play up there? It's only if the other two aren't on the pitch, so they'll probably go with those three.
I would say so. I agree with that.
If nothing from the academy or whatever.
You need three. And look, Celtic have got a good enough academy that they probably should have, you know, somewhere there or thereabouts and join the squad. Maybe they do. And Brendan Rodgers, with his track record, you know, developing players, I think that's a path he would like to go down. The Doak one, I would then wonder why, you know, the parent club would let him go out to be third choice striker. I think the whole point of putting anybody out on loan is you want them to go and really be competing for that first place. If you're putting out Doak to compete,
someone like him,
with, you know, Kyogo, and I don't think.
And plus the fact he's just getting this, he's in the Scotland squad now, right? And he wants to be playing games. He wants to be improving. He wants to be learning. Now it doesn't matter because a big team put you out. It doesn't guarantee you that you should automatically play. Every week you've got to go to the club and earn the right to play. You've got to go and prove that you're better than the person in the position, or you're waiting for your opportunity, and we've seen it before. So if we'd been being in the Scotland round about the Scotland fringes, and I'm not going to say he's got to be a massive part of it, but he's now in the fringes, he's in the squad. I think for the lad's development, he's got to go and find a team that he's got a good opportunity playing a few games.
It's purely hypothetical anyway. I have no idea if it would happen. I'm surprised you're not a bit more for Stuart Armstrong in this hypothetical suggestion. Again, just based on that, that the thought was Celtic were going to sign two midfielders. It now looks like one. And if you were looking to scramble something and patch up that sort of number, you might not get much better than that.
No, I'm not 100% against it. I'm trying to think, will Celtic try and look down that road? Look, if it's, I don't know if Stuart, I don't think he'd be very hard to deal with. I know he's been down to England. His salary probably at that time was a decent size, so he left Celtic. He's obviously still a free agent.
I know there was talk of the MLS and Fulham and various other things.
And the one thing I do like about Stuart Armstrong, Gordon, unless I'm totally wrong, I think he's a terrific pro. You know, I think he's a very good person to have round about the place. I think he'd wait for his opportunity. I think he'd be very good in training. I think he would help the younger lads as well and everything to go with it. He knows the club. He's been there before. I just don't see Celtic doing it, but I wouldn't be against it.
David, do you feel like you need a good bit of business done tomorrow or later tonight after this Champions League draw?
We still need a left back, a left centre half. I know we're looking at the boy at Sheffield Wednesday, but we are short there. Onto that, another midfielder for the squad. We're going to be playing a lot of games this season, in the league, the League Cup, the Scottish Cup, and then obviously the Champions League. So there's a lot of games to be played. And the playing, at the moment, we're not playing the midweek, the Saturday, Sunday, the midweek, Saturday, Sunday. That's just about to change next month, where you're playing three games a week, every week. So at that point, you can't expect players to play 65 games a season. And all your top 11 or 12 to play 60, 65 games. You've got to rotate the squad. You've got to have players that you can bring in, that you can trust, that are going to do the same job. And I don't see why Stuart Armstrong wouldn't do that job. He's been here, he's done it. He's been with Southampton, he's been with Scotland. So to get him for nothing would be a great bit of business for Celtic, I think.
I would love to know, Mark, if the Champions League draw has sparked anything in the Celtic management office, recruitment department, boardroom, wherever it is, because we're almost so used to the draw coming out and being really, really tough, undeniably brutal on paper, and you think, oh, you know, might need to sign players to even try and limit the damage that's going to happen there, or maybe give yourself a chance. Listening to most Celtic fans, they feel it's a case of that group that Celtic have been drawn in might just be doable, so let's really go for it.
Well, they're leaving it very late if they're you know, required to check out the group before they then start making inroads into players. Unless they've got this list that's just ready to go and they know they're going to be easy to negotiate with, I can't see it. I can't see them being that kind of ill-prepared or just leaving it to chance, to see, you know, on a knife edge to see what the draw is like. I think they should be better run than that. So I think the targets would have been there in place, whether they got Real Madrid and Juventus and whoever else in Liverpool, or if they drew the group like this. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers would have put that to them. This is who I want. Can you get them in? Some, of course, would have just been unrealistic. I'm sure that's part of being a manager at a club like Celtic, having unrealistic targets, try to push the boundaries. But some of the ones like Ida and then Engels are realistic ones that they've got over the line.
Thoughts on Sunday, David?
I would like to think a good one for Celtic. We're a better team than Rangers going forward, defensively, midfield. Every department were better. And I know Gordon's going to jump in with Dessers as the top goal scorer in Scotland. They've not really played anybody yet. And to come up and say, oh, they're doing better because they beat Ross County 6-0. Come on, Ross County. We'll be up against a real team on Sunday. I'd be disappointed if it's not 3 or 4.
Well, setting the sights high.
I don't think David will be alone. I think a lot of Celtic supporters will be in that camp. Dessers is a top goal scorer. But it's got to be a big task. Look, I've tipped Celtic to win it and I won't change my mind. I think just now They're playing terrifically well. I know they've lost one of their top players, but they've just got such a strong squad. They've got players, big game players. Kyogo always seems to step up in these games as well. McGregor dominates most of them. They've got a terrific goalkeeper as well. Rangers will have it all to do, but you never know in these sort of a games.
Okay, thank you to David on 01419511025. Mark Wilson, have you any more on this teaser name? The last nine Celtic players to score in their first ever Old Firm game. Odds on Edouard, Moussa Dembele, Tom Rogic.
Was Carter Vickers one?
No.
James Forrest on there?
No.
No.
There are some really
easy ones.
Yeah, just in terms of quite notable and recent.
Maeda?
No.
Hatate?
Yeah. No. Remember, signed in that January window, 2nd of February, scored two.
Scored the Carola, the second one. Yeah, that's right.
Five to get. Give you one more guess. Again, what about even more recently than him?
Even more recently would be
Ida.
Yes, Adam Ida. And we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been very quick tonight. I suppose that's what happens when you've got various big talking points. But we're in the final stretch. We're about to kick off at Tynecastle. I think it must be UEFA wide, because there's a minute's silence for the sad passing of Sven-Goran Eriksson there, as there was at Rugby Park earlier. The good news thereafter in Ayrshire is that Killy do lead by a goal to nil, so 2-1 behind on aggregate. Let's quickly go to Gabriel and just get a quick refresher of things at Tynecastle.
Yes, Gordon, moments away from kickoff here. Huge game for Hearts. Can they reach the Europa League? Go one better than they did last year in the Conference League. Only 100 Victoria Pilsen fans in the top right-hand corner of the stadium to my right here. Nearly packed out, about 18,500 here at Tynecastle, but no Lawrence Shankland, the captain, missing with a knee injury. Liam Boyce starts up front in his place. A massive task. Hearts winless this season, 4 losses in a row, but this is the kind of game that can turn a season around. Season defining, some would say, with the riches of the Europa League on offer. Cammy Devlin stands over the ball, Gordon. The sun setting just behind the Tynecastle stand. The referee with the whistle in his mouth, and we are just about to get underway here.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully Hearts can do the business as well. Can you name the last 9 Celtic players to score in their first Old Firm game? Adam Ida, Rio Hatate, Odson Edouard, Moussa Dembele and Tom Rogic.
How far back are we going?
You're struggling a bit here. So Rogic is the furthest back, actually.
Rogic is. Okay.
There's another one from last season that you don't have.
Jota.
Nope, that wasn't last season.
Okay. Last season, come on.
I'm trying.
Bernardo.
Paolo Bernardo. Yeah, okay, 3 to get. We'll get them soon. We'll bring you a half-time report from Rugby Park in the coming minutes. Let's go to Stephen in Cambus Lang. Stephen.
How you doing, guys? All right?
Good. You?
Yeah, good. I've just read in the last hour or so that Motherwell have agreed a deal to bring Jack Vale back to the club on loan. So I think that's a really good signing, because I think when in dire need of a Blair Spittle replacement, I think it's one thing that's missing from the side. He can play up front, but he can also kind of sit in that kind of a 10 role, if you like. And what he brings to the squad is just bundles of energy that I think is a facet we need in the starting 11. So I'm really pleased with that. It's also somebody that we know what we're getting. He's been at his before, and I think it's better to go and get somebody like him than maybe an unknown entity, if he does this.
He was good last season at Motherwell, Gordon.
I think Stephen hits the nail on the head. The one thing he does give you is energy about the pitch, and he can get that to other players as well. I think that Motherwell, just looking at them at pre-season games as well, Spittle was a big, big player for him. You know, it wasn't just the fact of his goals, it's the way he created for other players, he found the pass. He was massive for Motherwell. They've not replaced him. I don't know, I've never really seen him playing in the number 10 role, but I'll take Stephen's opinion on it because he watches Motherwell every week. So, and plus the fact that he's been there last season, he knows the manager, he knows the players, he knows the setup, the fans have taken to him. So he's off to a good start already. I think it could be a good bit of business.
His memory serves me right. Was that against Celtic? Did they play a wee bit of a deeper role, like the number 10 role last season at Fir Park? He was very good. Mm-hmm. Stood out. And that's what made me sit up and take notice of him. But I think the way you described him is spot on. You know, plenty of energy, plenty of pace. You need that at the top end of the pitch. And he's going to bring that to Motherwell. But you've got good options here now.
I was going to say, Stephen, some of these guys surely must be destined to play off the front if that's the case, because if Vale arrives, he'll join recognised strikers, if you like, Watt, Robinson, Stamatopoulos, who cost a lot of money, Moses Abie, Stuparevic, who was signed in the summer. Maybe don't think we'll see much of him. If you want to add Maswanisi in, a little more of a winger, clearly. How are all these guys fitting in?
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to need to spread them across the team. And it's good, though, as well, Gordon, to kind of have options for the bench to bring on if the game's maybe not going in your favour. And I think that's one thing that Stuart's maybe looked at and thought that we need to, is if we're kind of a goal down in a game and we've got players on the bench that we can bring on that can maybe change it for us. One thing that I'm really pleased with this season, if I can change subjects slightly, is we look a lot more solid defensively. I think the signing of Liam Gordon has been a masterstroke with the club. And you couple that with a goalkeeper that will actually come off his line as well and Aston Oxborough, it's been night and day compared to some of the sloppy goals that we conceded last season. We seem to look a lot more defensively.
Yeah, it's just that balance, Gordon. Mm. One of the great stats, if you call it that, from last season is that Motherwell, who were in a bit of bother for a while and finished bottom half, scored more than everybody apart from Celtic or Rangers. So clearly the issue was at the other end. Stephen's right, they do look a bit more solid, but can they score? Can they replace Theo Bear and Blair Spittle's goals?
Yeah, there's a bit of freshness about it, obviously, with the goalkeeping situation as well. Oxford waited a fair amount of time for his opportunity. Liam Gordon brings in a bit of experience. They go to St Johnstone the weekend, I'm correct in saying that. That'll be a wee tester for them. But they've got a decent enough squad
with
now.
And no Sidibe, four-game ban.
But I totally agree with Steve. There's one thing about modern-day football now, the bench is so important to you. You know, you look at, for instance, I always go back to Postecoglou. I thought he was a master at it at Celtic when he was there. He could make those three changes and all of a sudden, you know, they just kick on to another gear. And I'm not saying that Motherwell are anywhere near Celtic, but you've got to have replacements that you believe can turn a game for you. Or if you're against the coach, you can change your system and the players coming on can fit into your system to see a game out.
Thanks to Stephen. We'll see if Jack Vale does become a Motherwell player. Will that be one of many moves to be done in the Scottish Premiership tomorrow? Hopefully we at least get some excitement on transfer deadline day. But sometimes it's easier said than done. It's still 0-0 between Hearts and Pilsen. 5.5 on the clock. We should be about to bring you a half-time report from Rugby Park. Yes, let's do it. Andrew McLean, how's it been?
Yeah, Kilmarnock 1, Copenhagen 0, and it is game on here at Rugby Park. We said it, Kilmarnock needed a quick start. They needed to try and rock their opponents, and they've done it. The pace, the direct running of Matty Kennedy and Danny Armstrong on either side, coupled with the physicality of Kyle Vassell up top, it's really caused the visitors problems, and it's not made it comfortable for them at all. The important thing was making the most of any chances they created, and they managed to do it. In fairness, it took them to the fourth time of asking, because it was a deep free kick initially headed off the post that came back into a crowded area. Two more efforts that were blocked, and then it fell to Marley Watkins, who lashed it home from close range. This place went absolutely crazy. There was a VAR check, but the goal did stand. The crowd really up for this now, but Copenhagen did start to step it up in the last few minutes. Kieran O'Hara in their goal, making a couple of big stops, which you'd expect he would have to do on a night like this if Kilmarnock are going to come through it. Still a goal down on aggregate, but the half-time score here at Rugby Park is Kilmarnock 1, Copenhagen 0.
You'd take that, wouldn't you?
All day long. You're back in the tie, and you've got that goal. And once again, a little bit like Hearts, out second half, I was listening to Andrew there. Copenhagen will come into the game. They will create chances. I said earlier, if Kamarnock have any opportunity to win this tonight, they've got to be solid at the back, their back four and their goalkeeper. So far, they're achieving that. They've got good attacking players in the wide areas, and they've got a bit of strength and guys that can get you goals in the front areas as well.
Mark, we've pointed out people, the reference for Copenhagen is that they were Champions League last 16 last season, but they did take penalties to get past Bannock Ostrava in the previous round. They're not the same team they were last season. If Kelly can come out as quickly as they did at the start of the second half as they did at the first, who knows?
Well, they've every opportunity, and that's the thing. The character's obviously changed in that side from last season, that Copenhagen side, and when you put them under pressure, they obviously can be got at. Derek McInnes has done his homework on it, started brightly, and they need another 10, 15 minutes like that after the restart, because if they nick another, you would fancy them then going through, but he must be delighted, because imagine doing your halftime team talk and it's still 0-0 or they've nicked one, the tie's over. It's all going to plan so far, but they need a quick start the second half.
And just quickly, Gordon, nothing major, but Hearts very much on the front foot early on at Tynecastle.
Yeah, it's been a good start from Hearts. Obviously missing their captain, their leader, Shankland, but they've just got to go on with it. As I said earlier, I totally understand what Gabs was saying there about getting the 18,000 Hearts fans in, but a wee bit of patience and they could be okay.
You need
tonight
three more of the last nine Celtic players to score on their Old Firm debut. Adam Ida and Paolo Bernardo did it last season. Rio Hatate, Odson Edouard, Moussa Dembele, Tom Rogic,
Scott Sinclair.
Yes, same game as Moussa Dembele. There's another from that game as well.
Griffiths,
who I think it was the fifth maybe.
Turnbull?
No.
Wistig?
Nope. He was mentioned tonight as a potential transfer.
Oh, Sure Armstrong.
And the last one, remember the game that Rangers won on penalties and it sparked Brendan Rodgers coming and the rest was history? The game at Hampden. Who scored for Celtic that day?
Patrick Roberts? No.
Mr. Sitter. Defender.
Sviatchenko.
Eric Sviatchenko. Well done, Mark Wilson, God. Gordon Dale. Thank you. Rest up, because hopefully tomorrow's going to be busy. Hopefully Kilmarnock and Hearts are in the European draws. Of course Rangers draws still to come. Lots of excitement surrounding Celtic's Champions League draw. It's transfer deadline day. It's the eve of a massive weekend in the Scottish Premiership, including Celtic against Rangers on Sunday. Cannot wait for this weekend and the coming days. So make sure you join us from 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll see what Hugh Keevans has up his sleeve for us, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.